सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। श्री भगवान वाच श्री भगवान वाच इमं विवस्वते योगं इमं विवस्वते योगं प्रोक्तवानहमव्ययं विवस्वान्मनवे प्राह मनुरीक्ष्वाकभिर्भवेत्। श्री भगवानुवाच किमं विवस्वते योगं प्रोक्तवानहमव्ययं विवस्वान्मनवे प्राह मनुरीक्ष्वाकभिर्भवेत्। एवं परंपरा प्राप्तम् एवं परंपरा प्राप्तम् इमं राजर्षयो विदुः इमं राजर्षयो विदुः सकालेनेहमगतः योगो नष्टः परन्तप एवं परंपरा प्राप्तम् इमं राजर्षयो विदुः सकालेनेहमगतः योगो नष्टः परन्तप सये वायं मया तेद्य योगप्रोक्तः पुरातनः भक्तोऽसि मे सखा चेति रहस्यं खेतदुत्तमं सये वायं मया तेद्य योगप्रोक्तः पुरातनः भक्तोऽसि मे सखा चेति रहस्यं खेतदुत्तमं। अर्जुन उवाच अपरं भवतो जन्म परं जन्म विवस्वतः कथमेतद्विजानीया त्वमादौ प्रोक्तवानिति। अर्जुन उवाच अपरं भवतो जन्म परं जन्म विवस्वतः कथमेतद्विजानीया त्वमादौ प्रोक्तवानिति। श्री भगवानुवाच बहूनि मे व्यतीतानि जन्मानि तव चार्जुन तान्यहं वेद सर्वाणि न त्वं वेद परन्तप। श्री भगवानुवाच बहूनि मे व्यतीतानि जन्मानि तव चार्जुन तान्यहं वेद सर्वाणि न त्वं वेद परन्तप। Chapter 4, Lord Krishna starts by saying, I declare this imperishable yoga to Vivaswan, son God, and he in turn gave it to his son Manu, and Manu in turn gave it to his son Ishwar. And in verse number 2 he says, Evam parampara praptam imam rajashayo viduhu, thus handed down in succession. The king sages knew this yoga by long lapse of time has been lost here, O Parantapa. What he is saying here needs to be understood correctly. He says, this imperishable yoga is referring to what he spoke in chapter 2 and chapter 3. All that these words are indicating is the truth, which is imperishable, which is born due to the merger of ego with the total. The knowledge was revealed in whosoever merged their ego with the total, whom we generally call as realized souls. So therefore we call this knowledge as revealed knowledge. It was revealed, not got through the efforts of the mind and intellect. It was when the ego dissolved, the knowledge revealed in them. And that knowledge in turn was revealed by them to others. So he said, I declare this imperishable yoga to Vivaswan. Vivaswan taught it to Manu, Manu taught it to Ikshvaku. Here when Krishna says, I declare, I is not Mr. Krishna. This is where the confusion comes. When we use the word I, we mean this personality. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna uses the I from different dimensions. For example, in this verse, he is using the word I from the core of the personality level, not from the surface personality level. Sometimes he talks to Arjuna as his friend, then he may be talking as Mr. Krishna. So here when he says, I declared this, he is not saying Mr. Krishna declared this to Vivaswan. But this is obviously not understood by Arjuna because he is going to ask a question later on. But we have got this understanding which we are discussing now to make it clear to us that it is not Mr. Krishna speaking, it is the wave identifying with the ocean speaking as ocean, not as wave. So I declare this imperishable yoga to Vivaswan from the very beginning. Remember this, whenever we say beginning, beginning has to be within the time frame. Whenever anything began, time should have already been there. Everything begins in time and ends in time. So he says, I declare means I is beyond time. That's what we need to understand. Any action cannot be beyond time. Action happens in time. So time is already there. Right? But before time, Atma is there. So he says, I declare this Atma which is beyond time, which is eternal, which is neither old nor new. It is eternal. That declares the truth to Vivaswan in maybe different form. But the identification here is not in the form, it is in the Atma. So the Atma declared the truth to Vivaswan in some other form. Vivaswan in turn declares his truth to his son. Now here I told you last week that declaring this truth to somebody else can be declaring the words that you heard, are going deep into the words and you also experiencing the truth and revealing it. Real me. You heard from the master. Master spoke from his personal experience. It is not a second hand information to him. It is his own personal anubhava experience. But for you it is not your anubhava. But you heard from the master. What you heard is only the words. The problem is, something which is beyond words cannot be brought in words totally. Somebody who experienced it from different dimension, from the depth of his personality, the core of the personality, the ocean. The total ocean cannot be expressed by the waves totally. It can make an attempt. All these attempts are collected together as shastras, as scriptures. But shastras are words.
no doubt words that came from Mahatmas. But the problem is, words cannot express the truth totally. There is one problem there. Another problem is, we the people who are listening to the words of the masters, we are not having the experience of the ocean. So we also selectively listen. And then we communicate it to somebody else without going deep into the words and realizing the truth of communicating, verbally simply reproducing the words mechanically. So he says in the next verse, thus it has been lost due to long lapse of time. Ganges originates in Himalayas, Kaveri originates in Karnataka, somewhere, and then it goes and mixes in the ocean in Tamil Nadu. Right? But it is the same Kaveri. Right? It is the same Kaveri, it is the same Ganges that is flowing in Himalayas, that is flowing in Kashi, that is going, flowing in Bengal. But it has been constantly moving. From the time it originated in the Himalayas, by the time it got mixed in the ocean, there is a long lapse of time. In the meantime, people have lost themselves in words. That's what it means. Lost does not mean truth has been lost. Truth can never be lost. Truth has been hidden.
Does it mean it's not comprehended the way it was meant to?
Absolutely. It was not comprehended because it was hidden in so many words. So many people have come in between and they have used so many words. Right? So Buddha experienced the truth and he communicated to a different set of people at different times using the language pertaining to that era. Are you with me? Now you have heard it from the master who had first hand information. For you it is not first hand information.
Even Buddhism, you have so many different
visions. Yeah. The point is, words, in words, everything is lost. So, long lapse of time, by the time a river originated, same river is flowing through various villages, by the time it is mixing with the ocean, it's a long lapse of time. In the meantime, people are lost in the scriptures. He's not ridiculing the scriptures. As an end in itself, they are lost. The words. Just like how water can be hidden inside the mud. Right? River is flowing and it is dry. But under the river bed, if you dig, water can be taken up, but the digging has to be done. But the problem is, we mechanically repeat the words of the masters. So when he says Vivaswan gave it to Manu, Manu gave it to Ikshvaku, this was handed down in succession after having experiencing the truth, taking the words, not stopping with it and simply mechanically passing it on. That probably you can do it through tradition. I heard from my guru, before I die, I repeat it to you, then you repeat it to somebody else. Right? When you repeat it, you will have that confidence, that shraddha. You understand? But when you are speaking from your experience, you are talking with such confidence. So the masters revealed the truth and thereafter people got lost in the words. Like Shakespeare says, words, words, words. What readest thou, my lord? Says Polonius to Hamlet. And Hamlet says, words, words, words. So words are more respected, personalities are more respected, but the truth they proclaim, nobody bothers. So the idea is, having heard the words, now you need to go deep, dig through the words, realize the truth, and then communicate. Then you are doing it from your own personal experience. Without that, simply repeating, repeating, repeating will take you nowhere. For example, if you ask Krishna to come and teach Bhagavad Gita again, assuming that you are qualified and he also agrees to teach you, he is not going to repeat the verse same way. He is going to talk the truth, because the present era is different, the person who is asking is different, the language he understands is different, so he will speak the same message in a different way. But you will say, oh, he is not the same Krishna, he doesn't even know how to repeat the Bhagavad Gita, how can he be the Krishna? But we will say, oh, he is Krishna. Why? Because he is brilliantly repeating it. He is such a great Krishna that he is even able to repeat Gita backwards. You understand? So in other words, people have lost the essence. Thus it flew, it was flowing from the top meticulously, but in the meantime it has all been lost in words. Raja Rishis knew this. Raja Rishis knew this means Rishis who attained the Atma actually became Rajas. It could be that Rajas, kings realized the truth and they were called as Rajarishis. But actually speaking, anybody who realizes the truth is Raja. Why? Who is a Raja? Raja truly means one who has no begging bowl whatsoever. But if you being the Raja at the biggest begging bowl, then you are not a Raja. Beggar is begging, king is also begging. Expectations, worries, anxieties, he is also having a begging bowl. Then he is not a Raja. Truly speaking, who is Raja? One who has no expectations, no begging, no asking, no wants. Right? So one fellow went to a master and said, I want peace, I want peace, I want peace. So he said, simple, remove the words I want, you will get peace. When you write I want peace, right? If you want peace, what do you have to do? Strike the I, strike the want, then peace is there. The moment you have I want preceding peace, you cannot make it. So the rishis are the truly speaking kings. They don't want anything. Alexander, it is said, when he came to conquer India, he asked his guru, what can I bring you back as a present? Do you know this story? I was told by somebody. He said, bring one teacher from India. Alexander could not take back a teacher. He doesn't want, he can take back fake teachers if he wants to. A true teacher has no need. True guru has no need, you understand, no wants. One who is above wants is king. If king himself is under wants, then what sort of king is? So Raja Rishis knew this. They were all kings by knowing this knowledge. They knew it and passed it on. They did not pass it on just as an information. Right? So thus this yoga was known to them. By long lapse of time, here it has been lost. Oh, Parantapa, O scorcher of foes. So the enemies, who are the enemies? Arjuna asked, you scorch the enemies. So here in a way he is saying, the enemies are the words. Don't get lost in the words. You have to make the words, you have to conquer the words by going deep into them, not getting stuck in them. Verse number 3.
సయేభాయమయా యోగ ప్రోక్త పురాతన యోగ ప్రోక్త పురాతన భక్తోసి మే సకాచేతి భక్తోసి మే సకాచేతి రహస్యం హేతదుత్తమం రహస్యం హేతదుత్తమం సయేభాయమయా యోగ ప్రోక్త పురాతన భక్తోసి మే Rahasyam Ketaduttamam. That same ancient yoga has today been imparted to you by me. See, what he is saying is,
is making it very clear, this is not something that I have found originally. It is not something that I have discovered. Before me nobody has discovered, and after me nobody will be able to discover. And the first fellow to discover, he is not saying that. He is saying that same ancient yoga. The same ancient yoga does not mean old thing I am giving you. What he is saying is, this bottle is new, wine is old. Okay. Knowledge is not my own. Knowledge is always there. I have stumbled upon it and I am revealing it to you. Before me, somebody else, so many people would have stumbled upon it. Right? But the thing is, whosoever stumbled upon it before you, you have no idea. Right? So every time when you stumble upon the truth, it appears to you as if you were the one who stumbled upon it first. Right? So therefore, he says, that same ancient yoga has been today imparted to you by me. So therefore, this is not something new, Arjuna. The problem is, in fact, many times the message gets lost when it is known.
When it is known.
When it is known to many. Known in the sense of using known differently. You, what is obvious to you, you take it for granted as if you know about it fully. Me. So a lot of people, when they go on listening to these words repeated from childhood days, which is common, they think they know all these things. They don't know. Like for example, Bhagavad Gita, in your house constantly it is chanted. Right? And in your neighborhood everybody is chanting Bhagavad Gita. You think I know it. This knowing itself becomes an influence for you to know the essence of Gita. At least, if you do not know, you have not heard about Gita, at least you say, I don't know Gita, I would like to know it. So many times, words become a big problem. Right? Words become a big headache, becomes hindrance. Because I'm used to the words, I know the words, but knowing the words is not knowing the truth. So he says, I declare the same truth today to you, the same ancient yoga. He is not arrogating the knowledge to himself. Always anybody who discovered the truth doesn't arrogate the knowledge to himself. Even in the Upanishads, he says, Gurudev says, Anya Devata Viditatato Avinitatati Iti Shushruma Purvesham Henastha Vyasa Chakshate. In Kena Upanishad he says this. Thus have we heard from our great masters. Even though he has experienced the truth himself, he says, thus have we heard from the great masters. He always puts knowledge ahead of him. When you only know the information, you put yourself ahead of the knowledge. Knowledge behind you. But when you really know the truth, you put knowledge ahead of you. You are behind the truth. Humility is the sign of knowledge, sign of wisdom. So here is very clearly saying that same ancient yoga is given to you by me today. Meaning nothing is Mr. Krishna handiwork here. The personality has not given something new. I am not saying anything new. This truth is always there. Only thing, you do not know it. It is already there. Like for example, if I write on the blackboard using a white chalk piece, blue, right? And I ask you to read what you see, what you will read? Blue. But what you see is white on the blackboard, right? So if I ask you to read, the color of the writing becomes a little difficult for you. you will read out what is written. I continuously write, different chalk pieces I use and different things I write. I have a video presentation of it which we can see. I think we saw it the day when we had the retreat. And maybe I can show it once again. You know, write blue with white chalk piece, yellow with red chalk piece next to it. Like that, if you write different colors using different things, then if I ask you to read, you will find it very difficult. Because you are instantly, mind is saying you should read the words, but you are supposed to read out the color that is used to write the words. So where blue is written, you should say white because it is written in white. Where yellow is written, you should say red because it is written in red. You understand? This is the problem. So in other words, truth is always there, but your perceptions were limiting it, Arjuna. I have gone beyond those perceptions. I am able to see the truth and I have declared it. So many other people who also saw the truth, they have also declared earlier. So therefore this is not something that is mine. First sign is arrogation will not be there. Somebody asked the Swami, why is it that you don't charge for your Gita lectures? He said, how can I charge because I cannot afford? The reason is, how much ever I charge, it is not enough for that. So you can't afford. So there is no question of charging these things. These are not something that is my own. This truth belongs to everybody. Only thing, your mind is restricting you from seeing it. If you go beyond mind, you also see it. Then you see that it has always been there. In fact, it becomes a wonderment for you. How come I missed it all these days? Now it is a wonderment to you. How come he is seeing it and I am not seeing it? Later on, what will become a wonderment to you is, how come I did not see it all these days when it has been there all the time? The challenge is, I got stuck with words, my conditions. This is the biggest problem. So he says, that same ancient yoga. Ancient is not something that is old. It means beyond. Beyond time. That yoga is beyond time. Time and mind has always correlation. Without mind, there is no time. When you are in deep sleep, when there are no thoughts, do you have time concept? So when the thoughts come, time automatically is there. So thoughts or mind and time has a correlation. So therefore when he says ancient yoga, this is eternal, this is beyond time. When I went beyond my mind, my ego dissolved with the total, when the yoga happened, that yoga is beyond mind. Beyond time. That has today been imparted to you by me. Why? For you are my devotee and friend. And this indeed is the supreme secret.
Swamiji, you also say that we, when we pass over, we carry our thoughts and our minds with us.
So, when you go beyond thoughts, you realize that truth is beyond thoughts. In fact, Swami was asked, can you tell me how to find truth? He said, look between two thoughts.
Between two thoughts
is the truth, meaning beyond thoughts. The problem is, we want to grasp the truth with thought. It is not possible. With thoughts, it is impossible. With your eyes you can't see the truth. Keno Upanishad declares, it is not what you see that is God. It is what makes you see that is God. It is not what you hear that is God. It is what makes you hear that is God.
But that is a limitation.
Yashro trenana shruno tiyena shro kramiragum shrutam tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate. That alone is God, not what you people worship here. So therefore, what he is saying is, I have declared, meaning the I which is beyond thoughts, declared it to you. So if you also use these words and go beyond your thoughts, then you will also see that truth revealing through you. The idea is not to stuff yourself with more thoughts. A thought should be used to remove all thoughts. Like in the Atmabodha, Adi Shankara uses the example of kataka nut powder. In Atmabodha he uses this example. Atmabodha is full of examples. That's the greatness of the taste. So there, he says, there is dirt mixed in water. So what you do is, you put little kataka nut powder on the surface of the water. Then that collects as a, what do you call, a net kind of a thing. It forms on top of the water. It gathers weight and it settles down. When it settles down, it collects all the other dirts and settles down. So the guru uses the word very carefully. That should mix with you and dissolve all the words along with these words also.
Repeat that again.
Katakana powder is also dirt, right? But what it does, it settles down. As it settles down, it collects all other dirts and gathers weight and it settles down. Similarly, the scripture should help you to remove thoughts. But the problem is, sir, when are you finishing Bhagavad Gita so that you can start Ashtanga Gita? When are you finishing that, then Viveka Chudamani we have. In other words, then all of us are interested in collecting more and more words, as though something new is going to be told. That is why there is no need for you to change from one religion to another. Because the same truth was declared by Prophet Muhammad. Same truth was declared by Jesus Christ. Same truth by Krishna. Same truth by Buddha, Mahavir, Zarastra, whosoever. The problem is, once we get stuck with words, then we will be fighting with each other. Somebody asked Jesus Christ about Abraham and himself. He said, before Abraham was, I was. Before Abraham was, I was. What does it mean? How is it possible? He is not talking Jesus. As Mr. Jesus he was assisting before. Truth is beyond thoughts, beyond personalities. But the problem is, we get stuck with the personality which expresses the truth. Refuse to go beyond the personality. Buddha talked about not identifying with any personality, but his truth is also worshipped. You know, they will take over, somebody will tell you, this was the spectacle used by Buddha. Then people will be worshipping that. So in other words, the problem is this. We get stuck by these thoughts. But what he is saying here is, since you are my devotee and friend, I declare this to you. Why is this? Is Krishna also only declares to people who are friends to him? To enemies he doesn't declare. What is he trying to say here? Jesus Christ also said, don't cast pearls before swine. Same meaning. Swine, pig, doesn't know the value of the pearl. It is not asking for. Don't cast pearls before swine. That's why he keeps saying, knowledge is never
given.
It is
taken.
Knowledge is never given, it is taken. Right? When you are interested in taking the knowledge, then you will even come from Durga. You will even come from what is the place you are coming from? Scientific forms. But if you are not a taker, even if it is happening next door to you, you are not going to come. So knowledge is never given, it is taken. When you are a taker of the knowledge, then distances doesn't really matter. When you are not a taker, even the nearby place looks to you as if it is a foreign place. So he says, you are my devotee and you are my friend. You are my devotee and you are my friend. Meaning, friend is showing his face to you, enemy is showing his back to you. That's all. Whosoever is showing the face gathers what you say. Whosoever is showing the back doesn't get it. In other words, truth is always there, only you are turned the other way. That's all the meanings. So in other words, will I not be possible to, is it not possible for me to get it? Of course. What do you have to do? Turn. Remember, Dhara should become Radha. Remember I told you, Dhara means thought flow moving away, Radha means thought flow moving inwards. So that is the connection between Radha and Krishna. Radha thoughts are moved towards consciousness, our thoughts are moved towards the other side. The moment you see, you turn this side, then you see instantly Krishna always there. So you being a devotee is very important. Truth is there only. It is not that truth is having a preferential treatment. You understand? But you have to seek it. First chapter, Arjuna was not a taker of knowledge. First chapter, only Arjuna was talking. He did not ask. He was showing his back. You understand? Then, when did he start becoming a devotee? Second chapter. Verse number 7. Yashreyasya nishitam bruhitam me shishyaste shadimam tvandrapannam. I am thy disciple, I am your devotee. Means what? Abhi, I had turned towards your side and I am listening. Then I become a receptacle, I become a receiver. A friend, a devotee is a receptacle or a receiver who receives the frequency. The frequencies are there in the atmosphere. But my set is not tuned in. When my set is not tuned in, I don't get it. When my set is tuned in, I get it. It is tuning. Since you are tuned Arjuna, since you are attuned Arjuna, I am telling you. In fact, I am not telling you, I am telling. Since you are attuned, you are getting it. That's the meaning.
Swamiji, isko thoda elaborate kare to transcend thoughts. Thoughts to aate like even if we are understanding a scripture, we are understanding it with our intellect, with our thoughts. We are not transcending. So transcend thoughts to kaise hota
hai? With thoughts, what do you understand? When you really understand, if you say it's not just the meaning of the words, you understand the insignificance of the ego and the presence of the total. Thus, if you really deeply understand it, then what will happen to you is you will start becoming more and more of a bhavani. When you become more and more of a bhavani, even subtle thoughts you are aware of. So the moment you are aware of your thoughts, you are different from the thoughts. So you are slowly, slowly differentiating the Atma from the thoughts, or thoughts from the Atma. Thus, slowly, slowly thoughts leave you, then what remains is Atma. That is why I said thoughts have certain role, play in going, in taking you beyond thoughts, but it has to be used properly, but not get lost in more and more thoughts. You understand? This is the problem. You have to use the thoughts to go beyond the thoughts, just like you use a thorn to remove the thorn. So you are my devotee and friend. So friend is not just Arjuna was a close friend of Krishna. Yes. That was there, but he would have told then only. No, no. Friend and a devotee. Read me. Both are used here. It was just friendship. Upar upar friendship. Then Krishna could have declared it then only. That is not what he obviously means. You are a friend. You want to hear these things. very interesting. In your television, there are so many channels that is coming through the set-top boxes. You don't even know that certain channels are coming. Because you are vibrating at a different frequency, straight away you
would have favorites.
Like even in the websites, right? There are so many websites. You only know this tomorrow when your mind has changed. Now suddenly you are having different websites. Atmabodha, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Govinda, all that. Are you with me? So the change has happened in you, therefore this truth you are hearing now. So therefore, all you need to do is, you have to become a Shishya. Oh, Guru has not come, Guru has not, Guru is there. You go deep, you seek, you will instantly find the Guru. But the problem is, we have so many other preoccupations. When you have all those preoccupations, your face is turned the other way. Right? Like, you read through Gita, you don't read Gita. You say, I have read Gita. I have gone through Gita. It's like saying that. You have gone through Gita, but has Gita gone through you? So the point is, Gita will go through you when your preoccupations have gone by you.
We have a lot of people reading lots of books.
Absolutely.
Religious books, but that is the key thing. Has those books actually gone through that?
Exactly. So the point is, a Shishya went to a Guru and said, I'm in a hurry, my father is not well, this is not well, that is not well, I'm in a hurry, please teach me. So he said, how soon can you teach me? So the Guru said, at least minimum 3 years it will take. Oh, that is not possible, I want it very urgently. Can you teach me very, very urgently? Then he said, it will take 10 years. Wow. He said, no other way, can do it immediately, then it will take 30 more years. He said, what is this? Because jitna preoccupation, utna time lagega. How long does it take for you to realize the glass that you think has been lost, which is right in front of your eyes? That much time it takes. Can be calculated depending on your preoccupation. Isn't it? It is there right in front of your eyes, but you are not able to find it. Right there it is there. I'm searching for white. But I'm lost in the words. But white is very much there, but you don't see it. When you see the white, you don't see the words. When you see the words, you don't see the white. This is the problem. Swamiji demonstrated in the classes. He says, put a finger in front of your eyes. You focus on the finger, world is out of focus. You focus on the world, finger is out of focus. Finger is very much there. So if you are preoccupied with the world outside,
so
Guru says, usko pura karke aa jao. Otherwise, what you will do is, you will quickly learn the words and in fact you will go very far. That is why the Upanishads they say, Tadure Tadvantike Tadantarasya Sarvasya. It is far, it is near. It is far, it is near means what? It is far for one who is preoccupied. It is near for one who is free from his preoccupations. Truth is here and now. But our mind is in future. Right?
Our past.
Our past. So when your mind is preoccupied in the past and future, you seldom realize the truth which is here and now.
when your mind is here and now, where is the past and future? You don't meet future as future. You always meet future in the present. Have you ever met future? You will never meet future. When you meet the so-called future, you will be meeting it as present also. Future can never be met. So unless we drop all these preoccupations of past worries and future anxieties for one day in a week, and for 1 hour, 1.5 hours in a week, it is becoming so difficult for us to drop the preoccupations. You understand? Yet you say, I want to do, I want to. But if you really understand the importance of it, like what is happening to Arjuna, in the midst of all the people surrounding him, he felt the necessity of this knowledge. Right? So in other words, the urgency should not be there of all the other things that is surrounding you. I must realize the truth. Amidst all this chaos, commotion around you, chaos around you, you should realize the necessity of it. And when you realize the necessity of it, you instantly become a bhakta. When you become a bhakta, you find Krishna standing right next to you. Suddenly. Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gives a beautiful story. He says, a small child used to go from his house to his school by walk. He was from a little poor family. So by the schools, all sorts of different people study, right? So they celebrate, children celebrate their birthday, distributing sweets and all. On the way to school every day, he used to meet Krishna under a tree, and he used to play with him for a while and then go to school. This used to be his regular thing that happens. And every now and then any child celebrates birthday, they will be distributing sweets and all. So one day he was a little sad while going, and Krishna asked, why are you sad? He said, this is my birthday today, but I am not able to carry any sweets because I come from a poor family. So Krishna said, don't bother, and gave him expensive sweets, most expensive sweets. And he was very happy, and he carried and distributed to all his friends and teacher. Teacher said, how come you got this? So he thought he stole it, because it's from poor family. So did you steal? He says, no, I did not. Then Krishna gave me. What? Krishna gave me? What nonsense are you talking? He said, no, Krishna gave me. So the authenticity was there in the way child said it. So the teacher said, must be true. So, what it is? Let us find out. So he said, where? He said, every day when I come, I meet Krishna on the way. And today when I told him that I am sad because of this reason, then he gave me these sweets. So he said, chalo, come with me, let me see the Krishna really if he is there. So he took him there, Krishna wasn't there. So the child started crying. Then Krishna came. Then child was jumping with joy. Ah, you come. See, I did not say the lies. I did not lie. See, Krishna has come. He tells the teacher. The teacher is not able to see. After some time, the teacher realizes, I will not be able to see. Because you have the purity, I don't. I completely agree, you are actually seeing Krishna. It's a very small story that Krishna says, but to me it has so much depth. It's really a very inspiring story. So when you become a bhakta, you will find Krishna there talking Gita. So there is no point saying, I have not found a guru, I have not found a guru. It simply means you have not dropped your preoccupations. The fear is, if I get the guru, I will drop. But the challenge is, if I will drop, only then I will get the guru. If I am not ready to sacrifice, I will not get the higher things. The lower I am not ready to sacrifice. But my fear is, let me get that, I will sacrifice this. It's a kind of a cash situation. So the preoccupations will have to drop. So he says, you are my devotee and friend. Therefore I gave this supreme secret. He says, this is a supreme secret. Why is it a supreme secret? Secret means what?
everybody knows.
Not everybody knows it. Very few know it. Number one. Number two, even and of all those secrets, this is supreme, because even those very few who know it cannot communicate it actually. Meaning, they can communicate, but the receivers are not there who can receive it. And their communication also will have to be done through the intellect, mind, mouth, which are all finite. So therefore, revealing the secrets by those very few who know it also is an impossible task almost. And understanding is almost not at all possible. Therefore he says, this remains a supreme secret. That supreme secret has been declared to you by me today. Sayevayam maya tedya adya means today. It has been taught to you today by me. So whenever the truth was revealed, it was revealed in today only. Right? So in the present only the truth can be revealed. Truth could not have been revealed in the past and I am carrying it. That means what I am carrying is dead words. Not us are carrying the dead words. But when a guru, remember this also, when a guru who has gone to the depth and he realizes the truth, he takes up the words of the scripture. He has made those words alive. You mean? Words become vibrant, alive, kicking in the hands of a guru. That is why they say you must study the shastras with the help of a guru. But this also is misunderstood. The help of the guru means, acha, he has learned grammar, he has learned how to interpret, his guru interpreted it in a particular way, he has learned the interpretation methodology, he comes and interprets you in the same way, therefore you must learn it from the guru, otherwise you will misunderstand. He is not talking about that sort of a tradition per se. He is saying, guru who is alive and kicking makes the words of the scriptures also alive and kicking. And he takes it up. It's a question of who takes it up. Right? Same cricket bat, which Tendulkar used, or Brian Lara used, if they give it to you, you are not even meet the ball with the bat. Forget about hitting it for a four up single run. You are not even able to meet. But the same bat, when it is in the hands of them, it suddenly plays wonderful cricket. How come? It is not the bat. It is in whose hands?
The bat.
You understand? That is why they say, learn the scriptures from a guru, if at all. Because then the guru is not just repeating the words, he is making words come alive. Hear me. So this is the problem. So therefore, we are only carrying dead words mechanically. Like for example, you take notes. Right? If you have not gone back, reflected, gone through those words and gone to the depth of those words and realized the truth, then the words in the notebook are dead words. What is the use? There is no use. So in other words, remember this, shastram, scriptures are not to be followed mechanically, just repeated verbally. You need to go deep and realize the truth. Under the words, the truth current is flowing. It needs to be experienced. Then you are able to understand any scripture. You can't understand the truth through the scriptures. But once you understand the truth, you can explain any scripture. Scripture is given to the master. Does master need to explain the words in it? Because it is his personal experience. So what the other master used when he explained it, he is able to clearly express it. Because he is speaking from the depth. He is not speaking from the tradition. When you speak from the tradition, that authenticity is missing. When you speak from your experience, that authenticity is very much there alive. Because you are speaking from your own convictions, not from others' dictation. There is a difference. Are you following others' dictations and are you following your own
conviction?
A sales guy, if he has to sell a product for so much price, the competitor has another product which is doing the same work, but it is 50% less. But if you do not have the conviction in the product, you cannot sell it at that high cost. You mean? They'll say, how come? That is also doing the same work, but that is only half the price. Yours is so high. Okay, go there. You understand? Don't have to come here, sir. You must have the conviction first. If it is dictation, then you are selling, you will get affected. That is the most important thing. First and foremost, you should know your product. Then you will have the conviction to say, doesn't matter how many ever. That is why you see certain things don't go down in price. Why? Because that quality is worth being charged for that. If somebody doesn't know the quality, you explaining will also not make them understand. You understand? A Rolls Royce showroom is not seen everywhere. The price is at a particular level because it deserves the price tag. It has so much of workmanship and all that. Therefore, it is at that cost. So, therefore, always remember this: a guru who is at that depth, he cannot be understood. Many of us always misunderstand him. So Krishna is also misunderstood. Here he is saying, this is a supreme secret. Supreme secret also because it is there yet you don't see it. It's like, I'm declaring the truth to you. You are Atma. What are you saying? In other words, secret is being revealed. Yet it remains a secret. Isn't it a supreme secret? If something is said, and I understand, then the secrecy is gone. When something is not said, the secrecy is maintained. That is ordinary secret. But something is not said, the secrecy is there, and when the same thing is said, still the secrecy is there. That means it must be the supreme secret, no? That's what he says. This is the biggest challenge. So therefore, by revealing it also, people don't know it. They don't know it not because that is not the truth, because they are not attuned. They are not attuned. Therefore, it is said, don't reveal the truth to everybody and anybody. Let them discern. There are certain qualifications mentioned. Adi Shankara talks about certain qualifications. Everybody, Adhikari, they say, you must be an Adhikari. Qualification should be there. Only then knowledge should be given. The Atma Bodha says, Tapo Vikshina Papana Shantana Vidaragina Mumukshu Nama Pekshuya Atma Bodho Vidhiyate. If a person doesn't have tapas, don't teach him. If a person doesn't have shantam, don't teach him. If a person doesn't have mumukshutva, don't teach him. If the person doesn't have the sixfold qualifications, don't teach him. You understand? In other words, it's not that forcefully you give them these qualifications and then teach them. When they are attuned, in fact you have nobody to deny. In fact, it's the other way around. If the Shishya comes and asks, you can't say no to him, you must give him. You will give him. He is qualified. You can test whether he is qualified. Like Nachiketa was tested by Yama, Guru. But when he realized that he has the qualification, then he gave him the truth. So there are Upanishads where they approached the master and said, please teach us this truth, we tried our best to understand, we are not able to understand. So he said, okay, ek saal ke baad aata, after 1 year. And if I know the truth that time, I will declare it to you. If the guru will tell you like that today, you will find out where is the next Bhagavad Gita class happening and you will join. But they waited for 1 year. You understand? Waited for 1 year and then the Guru comes and teaches the scriptures. The truth, not scriptures, the truth basically. So when you know the truth, you will be able to interpret any scripture. But when you do not know the truth, then you are dependent on the interpretation given by your master. The so-called other person, whosoever gave you dictations, you will be going and vomiting it. You don't know. But that conviction is not there about yourself. Once you know the truth, you are not dependent. Any scripture you will be able to interpret. No problem. Next verse. Arjuna uvacha, aparam bhavato janma, aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivasvataha, param janma vivasvataha, katam etat vijaniyam, tvamadau prokta vaniti, Arjuna uvacha, aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivasvataha, Now Arjuna has got a doubt. Because Arjuna is at the surface level, he is remaining as a babe. He is talking from that dimension. Krishna spoke from the different dimension. You understand? He, Arjuna is still at the conscious dimension. Krishna is speaking from the subconscious dimension. So here Arjuna is asking Krishna, later was your birth? Aparam bhavato janma. Param janma vivasvata. Vivasvan's birth was
before.
Your birth is just now. Recently, I know your date of birth. Right? So, how come then am I to understand that you taught this in the beginning? This is the problem. The questions are always coming from the surface level. Answer is given from the subconscious bottom level. There is no communication. The person who is asking question is continuously asking question from that level. Any answer given, unless he goes with the guru to that level and sees it, his questions will not stop.
So is it good to ask questions?
Of course. In 34th verse of this very same chapter, Krishna is going to say that. Tadvindhi pradipartena varikrishnena sevaya. Tadvindhi pradipartena varikrishnena. When we go to that verse, I will explain you in detail. First he says is pradipartena, then prashnena. Prashna means question. Pradipartena means surrender, prostration. Till that surrender doesn't happen, you keep on asking questions from the top. How much ever I try to give you the answer, you will continue to keep on doubting. Sir, But I am remaining at the conscious level and asking the question. You are giving answer from the subconscious level. There is no communication. I will want proof. See, is God there? When Krishna says, yes, God is there. Brahma Satyam, Jagat Nitya, when the masters declare, they are talking as a matter of fact. Brahma Satyam. It's like, I am seeing Brahman. Therefore, I am saying Brahman is there. Are you with me? But the problem is, we say Brahman I can't see. Therefore, he cannot be. So I give so many logics to prove that he is not there. So always, to prove what is not there, I support it with so much of logic. What is there, I am seeing. If you are not seeing, then I will have to explain to you why you are not seeing. Not why it is there. It is there. I am seeing this glass now because it is there in front of me. Why you are not seeing? Then I can tell you, you are preoccupied. You have color blindness. You have this, whatever. But you say, no, these are all dangerous things. Are you with me?
Yes.
Because I have to see it. So you go on denying. Like the teacher, he didn't see the truth, he didn't see Krishna. But he said, child cannot be saying lies. And initially he said, oh Krishna, where have you gone? You're not believing me. Then he suddenly started jumping. And the jumping was so authentic. So innocent jump it was. So intuitive jump it was, that the teacher says, I realize that Krishna is there, you are seeing, I can't see. This is the problem. We don't have, that is why it is said, don't teach the fellow who doesn't ask. And don't teach the fellow who asks improperly. Then you carry on, we carry on talking, and then you are not being on the phone. I'm listening, you. What kind of, you understand? I ask you a question, then you are trying to reply me. As you reply me, I am saying you carry on listening and you are also talking on the phone. If a person asks improperly, don't teach him. Very clearly said. This is the reason. Right? Pranipatena pariprashne. Say that. Through service. So in other words, Arjuna is asking, raising this question from the conscious mind level. He has not understood what Krishna has been saying. In the second chapter itself he said, Natve vaham jatu nasam natvam neme chana adipaha. Very clearly he said, 12th verse of chapter 2. First when he started speaking in the second chapter after Arjuna surrendered in the 11th verse, he said, Arjuna, you are speaking words of wisdom, yet you are grieving for those who do not deserve to be grieved for. Wise people do not grieve for people who have come, people who have gone. Then he says, why don't they grieve? Because never indeed was I not, nor you. That is what the verse I quoted just now. Natve vaham jatu nasam natvam neme nanadipaha. Never indeed was I not, nor you. Even none of these kings, they are all existent always. The I is always there. So he is speaking about the truth that is always there. Not as Mr. Krishna. But Arjuna has not understood a word. You will clearly see the kind of surrender that Arjuna exhibits becomes more and more deep as we proceed further. This is the case usually, isn't it? First, when you go to a guru, you have some little surrender maybe, but it's not total surrender. But slowly, 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 guru, by living those values, by so much of love and everything, your bhakti goes on increasing. When your bhakti goes on increasing, you will be sharing the view of the guru slowly. So it is not teaching through words, it is teaching through example. That is why we had Guru Kula, Guru Kula, where the Shishya went and stayed with the master. That's the difference. When you go and stay with the master and learn, there is a difference. From just words, it is more difficult. You understand? That is why it is said the Acharya should be one who exemplifies the living. Then the Guru will pave the way for Shishya's spark surrender into a conflagration surrender. A surrender has been like a spark.
Will slowly, slowly become a conflagration.
When it becomes a conflagration in him, the Shishya will start seeing the truth more and more vividly. Are you with me? That is why it is very important that the teacher lives the knowledge with love, with patience. He communicates. Then slowly the Shishya surrender also increases. You will see the surrender becoming more and more
when it comes to 10th chapter, 11th chapter, 12th chapter, Bhakti Yoga.
So, he clearly says, Arjuna is asking, Aparam Bhavato Janma
Param Janma Virasvataha.
Your Janma is reason. Virasvata's Janma is long term ago. Then how am I to understand that you taught this in the beginning? So what he is saying,
what Krishna spoke as ocean, Arjuna has understood as waves speaking. That's the problem.
Are you with me? He is speaking to somebody who is at the surface dimension. But when he spoke from the subconscious dimension. But the person who is at the surface dimension always understands it from that angle only. This is why we say, you project your mind. A money-minded fellow will see the other person also as money-minded. Because he is suffering from money-mindedness. Every action of the other person will also be interpreted as money-minded action. Because he is a villain. Therefore it becomes even more impossible task to prove to him that really this action is not done with money-mindedness. That he will be able to see when he is able to give up his money-mindedness. This is the difficulty in communication of the subtle. That is why many Mahatma said, Ari Baba, I am not going to teach. If you want to learn, you come to study. I am not going to come. Instantly you will see things drop. You know, so for so many reasons you will find the class members dropping. For example, distance jana hai, traffic hai, or it used to happen in a hall, now it is happening in a small place. The same facility is not there, air condition is not there, heater is not there, ye nahi hai, wo nahi. You will find slowly dropping. Finally, very few select who are really interested, isn't it? Are you with me? Because it is, it's not that they do not have devotion, but the level of devotion is different.
It's not
given
a
stake. Exactly. So the point is, Arjuna is at the conscious mind level, Krishna is beyond the subconscious mind level. There are two different dimensions. It becomes difficult. There is no communication. A guy who is conditioned by alcohol, another guy who is not conditioned by alcohol, guy who is not conditioned by alcohol, whatever he says, the guy who is conditioned by alcohol doesn't understand. There is no communication. Our conditionings are stopping us from understanding the deeper statements made by the Guru. And Guru also doesn't have any, he tries his best, to use those same words, but the words can mislead you. In fact, words have only misled people. So Rajendra said, come to me. It has been misunderstood. Come to me means you should become a Christian. So come to me, Krishna said, that means you should become a Hindu. That is not what they mean. The biggest problem is the silence also is misunderstood. When a Mahatma is silent also, it is misinterpreted. When a Mahatma speaks also, it is misinterpreted. We have one thing for sure we do, that is misinterpret. That is the biggest danger. That is why they say, before you come to handle the scripture, first purify yourself. Are you with me? Before you come to study the scriptures, handle the scriptures, first purify yourself. Then you will not misunderstand and misinterpret the scripture. But if you are not pure, then you will misunderstand the scripture with your mind and misinterpret it to the masses and take them everybody in the wrong direction. So that is why it is always emphasized purity first.
Sorry.
Then all the knowledge. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
You just come to say, no?